Fred P. Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 68th edition of Festival de Cannes, and in particular Uncertain Regard, and I'm honored to be with Roberto Minervini, director of The Other Side. So welcome back, Roberto.
Thank you.
So if I remember correctly, I was thinking about that while walking here, that maybe when we last, the last time we met on Fred, you were already working on this film. Is that correct? It might be.
Yeah, I think you're right. I had started working on the film. You must be right, because I started shooting in October 2013. So I'm sure we were talking about this, and then I kept shooting until August 2014.
So after the Texas trilogy, how did you end up in Louisiana?
Well, I ended up there through, you know, through friends in common, as usual. There's a link between Stop the Bundy Heart and this film. The father of the bull rider Stop the Bundy Heart is actually the brother of the main female character of the film, the main, which is Lisa, this drug addict woman.
How do you get to know these people, and how did you work with them? Because, you know, we were talking about that before, that you're sort of playing with this way of shooting, that it's now your personal way, this playing with documentary style and fictional style.
It took a while to get to know them. And when I say that, I don't refer only to the time prior to the shoot, but even during shooting, it just, we just kept getting to know each other and trusting, or trying to trust each other. I think this film implied the biggest leap of faith from me and the characters of all, you know, compared with my previous films. We're talking, you know, illegality, criminality, crime, violence, and living in the, you know, and hiding from the institution. So this was a really difficult context, and so it took a while to establish trust. As far as documentary and this working in a limbo between documentary and fiction, I think I keep working, I'm narrowing down a style that I find it to be personal, and it goes this way pretty much. I shoot very long takes, and the takes are in a shot in a documentary approach. However, when I shoot, I am aware of the I keep the final, you know, the end results of the film in my mind. So I do, without in, even if the camera is handheld, I know that I need to do coverage, so I keep moving around the characters and around the location we're shooting, so that I can get enough coverage, because I know my editor and I know what she wants me to provide her to create something that has the look, in a way, and probably the aesthetic, the poetry of fiction films.
I was thinking, okay, you told me how you got to know these people, but why did you decide that you wanted to portray their situation, and how did you select the stories to portray?
I knew of this situation of Louisiana, which is always in the top five ranking for the poorer states in America. It's been there for a long time, and they will probably stay there for a long, you know, years to come. So I knew I wanted to dig deeper into something that is not just a marginal society, societies at the margin, but also something that is politically controversial and relevant in today's America, because these southern states, the Midwest, is where really presidential elections are usually decided. So this is, you know, the 40 million people living under the poverty level, most of them reside in this area. So for me, it was important to go there. I shot for 5 months within, you know, a year that I spent there. So for 5 months, I collected 150 hours of footage. I documented several stories. So the decision of which story to focus on was actually, it came in the editing, on the editing table, with the exception of the two main stories that we see. I mean, actually, it's one story and of this person, Mark. But since it was really hard to film with Mark because of his addiction and his personal troubles, and that he ran away so many times, I actually shot so many alternate films, so many stories that could possibly be like the lead stories of another film.
I was thinking about this story actually, because even if I know, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that there's something scripted in, what hit me the most is that despite their drug addiction, they're very aware. I'm not an expert on addictions, actually, but what hit me is that they're very aware of their situation. There's a moment in which they are talking about getting clean, and he's saying that the only way for him to really get out of drugs is to get to jail, because there he will be forced not to do drugs. So he's aware of his incapability of getting out of the situation by himself.
Yeah, perhaps I have more familiarity with drugs, both from direct and indirect experience. I grew up in a very, you know, a tough environment in the central Italy, in the region, the Marches region, where I saw a lot of people, you know, dying of overdose in the heroin, the age of the air heroin of the 80s. I struggle with drugs myself, so drugs don't alter the perception of reality. What they make it, they make it easier to digest and tolerate. So the tolerance level gets higher, and so drug is a medicine, is one of the most effective, tragically effective medicines in the world. Mark knows, has always known, that he's saying something that is just as tragic as it is logical, that for him, you know, since he has nowhere to go and nothing to do, and he has no means to even change his situation, climb a social ladder, because there's no mobility between social layers in America, since there's no assistance from the institutions. So for Mark, the only institution that is there for him, is the only welfare that is provided for free, is actually jail. If he gets arrested, and does, in his case, it was 3 months because of child support, and then unpaid child support for a child that he hasn't seen in 9 years. For that, he could actually go to jail, and that's where he gets a chance to detox and get some food, and he repeats it many times, and get a bath, and it's something, again, tragic that in America, really, jail is the really only welfare, only kind of welfare that is provided institutionally.
I was thinking about, you know, the reforms that Obama is trying to do and is doing, the health reform, and I don't think that they're seeing any changes at the moment.
Never had a chance to make changes in America. He's never had really the numbers in the parliament, and now he's an absolute minority. So Obama is two things. He's a president that never got a chance to really change to govern America, and a president who comes from the establishment, who nobody at this point is sure to which extent he really wanted a change in his first mandate. It is as tradition in America, and in the last 2 years of the mandate, every president just plays tough because of the upcoming electoral campaign. So it's hard to, you know, decipher Obama's true nature. Obama's policies, true nature, especially during the first mandate when he had controlled the Senate. So Obama trying to make changes like Clinton did, and it's a change for the better. The direction America is taking is in some compartments, it's been an improvement, but it's definitely not an unfulfilled promise.
That's something what we're talking about. There's something that you sort of show in the film, like they are the other group that you're showing us is actually talking about that. He's talking about Obama. They don't like him very much. And they're talking about the possibility of voting for Hillary Clinton. So it was interesting to watch that. And I have one last question that I heard. I saw an interview you gave to Italians, and you were talking about the fact that this kind of film, you could do it. You could do it only because you're doing thanks to the support of the Italians and the French, because there were no possibility of doing that in America, you know, being produced by Americans, because it's very difficult.
Oh, yes, in America, and that's why the film must be claimed by Italy and France, because in France, this is not an American film. I'm not an American voice. But I am the voice of this kind of America. Unfortunately, I'm the only one, and I really don't want to be the only one. I would like other filmmakers to have a chance to give voice to the hidden America. America has a history of hiding. The American media has a history of hiding. So it is true. Italy has supported me, the government, Italian national TV, as well as France's government and national TV. And this is possible just because, in a way, I'm on a mandate from Europe to just go and dig it deep into America. But it's kind of tragic that America does not support. I just read a Hollywood Reporter review. There is no mention whatsoever of the political discourse that is implied in the film. The only question this is whether this is art exploitation or empathy. And again, that is a question I don't even want to answer, because it's completely missing the point. It is not about myself exploiting or having empathy. It's about the discourse and that is in the film. It's about the context that must be reviewed by the so-called critics and the media.
Thank you, Roberto. Thank you for being with us. And I really hope to meet you. And maybe we will talk in Italian then.
No, thank you. Grazie.
And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 68th edition of Festival de Cannes and Certain Regard for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.